Thank you for standing by and welcome to the Altium Investor Conference Call. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, 25th of August 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to Kim Besharati. Please go ahead, madam.
Good morning and welcome, everyone, to Altium's Fiscal 2015 Full Year Results Call. I would like to firstly introduce the speakers on today's call, including myself, Kim Besharati, VP Investor Relations and Corporate Affairs, Altium CEO Aram Mirkazemi, and our CFO Richard Leon. Earlier this morning, Altium released to the ASX the company's fiscal 2015 full year results and investor presentation. We will be discussing this presentation at a number of investor meetings in Sydney and Melbourne over the next few days. During this call, we would like to elaborate on Altium's financial performance over the past 12 months, discuss our strategy for pursuing market leadership in PCB design software, and share with you details of our progress consistent with this strategy. As a reminder, today's call in the Q&A section may include some forward-looking statements regarding our products, its future operations, or financial performance of the company. Any such statement will be based on the current assumptions of Altium's management and subject to risk and uncertainty that may cause the actual event and the result to differ materially. On that note, I will now hand over to our CEO, Aram Mirkazemi.
Thank you, Kim, and good morning, everyone. Though it's been rainy, although I can see some sun coming through, it's wonderful to be back in Australia this week for the release of our full year results. I look forward to meeting with some of you over the next few days. To start with, I'm very happy to report to you that Altium delivered a strong performance in fiscal 2015 and built momentum for future growth. I believe that our disciplined execution of our strategy is being reflected in the company's performance. I'm pleased that Altium grew revenue by 13% to just over $80 million. Over the past year. This result, combined with Altium's strong operating leverage, resulted in an increase in net profit before tax of 26% compared with the previous year. I must also share with you my thoughts in relation to Altium's EBIT margin. As is stated in our financial report to the ASX, growing our revenue faster than our costs is a fundamental part of our strategy. During fiscal 2015, Altium's revenue grew by 13%, while our costs grew by 9%, resulting in an improvement of 3% in our EBIT margin compared with the previous year. This year's results give me confidence that we may be able to enter into the 30s EBIT margin in fiscal 2016 earlier than I anticipated. In turning to Altium's solid worldwide sales and revenue growth during fiscal 2015, I must acknowledge the outstanding performance delivered by the Americas. The Americas achieved record revenue growth of 33%. Of this growth, 52% was represented organic growth, 28% from price increase, and 22% from improved margin. As I have said on earlier occasion, our confidence in the Americas continues to grow as the direct sales team goes from strength to strength, and our marketing machinery is in full swing, building a strong opportunity pipeline. For EMEA, however, I feel that our efforts over the past 6 months encountering a weakening euro currency were only partially rewarded. In fiscal 2016, Altium will continue with its focus and its efforts across all business fronts in EMEA. This will include bringing a stronger corporate presence in the region. Along with Altium management, I'm personally confident that our EMEA strategy will be rewarded in fiscal 2016. Our worldwide sales grew by 8% over the year to just over US $82 million. The very reason that Altium prefers revenue as a measure of the true performance of its business is perhaps highlighted by the fact that we just closed in July a 2.6 million transaction. Had it actually closed in June, we would have reported a different sales outcome. In that case, we would have reported somewhere between 11 to 12% growth in sales. To put Altium's revenue and sales in context, on a constant currency basis, sales would have been just over $87 million, up 15%, and revenue would have been just over $84 million, up 19%. Of course, currencies do fluctuate, but it is useful to consider Altium's revenue and sales growth in constant currency terms, as I believe that it shows the strength of the company's underlying growth momentum. If I could now take a moment to reflect upon Altium's M&A partnership efforts, as this is important to our pursuit of market leadership in PCB, you will be aware that they recently announced the successful acquisition of SIVA, and having entered an agreement to purchase Octopart. SIVA is a provider of cloud-based electronic component management system. Octopart is a leading provider of electronic parts, data, and specialized online inventory search. As I stated on our most recent investor call, these acquisitions are strategic in nature and would support our drive to becoming market leader in PCB design. These acquisitions will be marginally accretive fiscal 2016, and their future operations will be self-funding. Octopart and SIVA will deliver a significant step forward in the evolution of Altium's content and design data management strategy and provide a competitive advantage to Altium. From a partnership perspective, I'm pleased to report that Altium has recently formed a strategic partnership with German-based computer simulated technology, CST, to provide electromagnetic simulation and analysis functionality that will assist Altium to close capability gaps and to expand its addressable market in PCB. In looking ahead, I would like to note that Altium continues to build a strong M&A pipeline. We maintain a strong balance sheet, and I look forward to reporting future progress in this area. I will now hand over to our CFO, Richard Leon, to make some further remarks regarding our financial performance over fiscal 2015.
Thank you, Aram, and a very good morning, everyone. I very much support the sentiments just expressed by Aram. During the fiscal year 2015, Altium achieved improvements across all key financial metrics. Revenue, as mentioned by Aram, 13% growth. EBIT grew by 25%. And cash flow, 16% improvement on operating cash flow. All of which continues to exhibit the robust cash generative nature of Altium's business. Most pleasing for us was that these advancements were achieved under the backdrop of a very busy year that encompassed the successful relocation to the United States of America, foreign exchange challenges in Europe, and again, as Aram mentioned, we grew expenses by 9% below the growth rate of revenue, but also underwent the measured investments for future growth by expanding product range, reinforcing product development, and assembling additional sales channels. Altium's proven business model enabled the company to expand margins, growing EBIT margin up to 27%, up from 24%, and delivering a normalized net profit after tax growth of 38%, up from US $11.2 million last year to US $15.4 million this year. I will stop here, and this concludes the formal part of this call. I will now hand over for Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we take our first question from Stuart McLachlan with Deutsche Bank.
Hi, Aram and Richard. Congratulations on a very solid result. I guess my first question in terms of looking at the new acquisitions, I was wondering if you would be able to discuss some of the synergies you expect to achieve from the two acquisitions in terms of both cost synergies but also revenue synergies?
Good morning, Ms. Short. Thanks for the question. I guess, you know, when we were here last time talking about acquisitions, we stressed that there are four aspects for companies that we look for to acquire that we actually have to identify before we make the acquisition. One was that it, first and foremost, was the strategic fit in helping us pursue the path of market leadership. The second one was that it's got to be a good business, meaning that, you know, right people, right kind of momentum. And the second one, which I just mentioned, that's also a goal. The third one was it needs to be accretive. And the fourth one was that it needs to be the right fit culturally. The first two are goals. The last two are constraints, meaning that they can't be drags on our business. So this is how we think about acquisitions. And in acquiring Octopart and Siva, we have got very strong first two. And the third one is accretive, as we mentioned in our press release and our communications to the investment community. And these guys are also the right kind of cultural fit for us. So you will see in the presentation that we shared this morning, the 1+1 between Altium and Octopart is very strong. You know, electronic products are constructed by combining parts together, so parts is really fundamental. You know, you've got board and you've got parts. Electronics is very different to other kinds of engineering. Parts is a really big part of this. Now, Octopart brings supply chain intelligence manufacturer data. Altium brings CAD models, reference designs, and all the things that are coming from the engineering side, from design side. These two coming together, it's a critical aspect that I believe is going to be important in determining the future of market leadership in PCB design. In a successful standardization, aggregation, and unification of CAD content and supply chain data is critical for I believe, deciding who is going to be number one in PCB design in years to come. So that's the first part, which is the strategic reasoning as to why we acquired Octopart and Siva. As far as synergy is concerned, yes, we do have Content Factory in China, and these guys also have got teams that they bring data together. The data has got some overlap. It's probably 20%, 30% overlap, which actually helps both. In fact, helps the three to actually not have to replicate the work. They come from different angles, and majority are non-overlapping. But there is something in there that will bring cost synergy in there. And these companies combined, we will see them as continue to be self-funding. And, you know, there is a blue sky. Octopart has been quite impressive in his last couple of years, and our earnout model is such that if it encourages them to really pursue that and they continue that path, it could be pretty interesting. But our reason for acquiring them is to help us strategically in our pursuit of PCB market leadership.
Okay, thanks for that. And just my second question, in terms of the acquisition pipeline, I was just trying to get a gauge what you view as a decent level of cash on the balance sheet. So in terms of if the appropriate opportunity came up, would you go into a net debt position, or would you prefer to maintain at least a couple of months of a buffer?
No, we won't go into debt position, that's for sure. Our balance sheet is very strong, Stuart. We, as I think we communicated last time, that we could pay, and we're almost paying the money for these acquisitions out of our free cash flow. So substantially our cash position hasn't changed in a fundamental way so as to affect our ability to make acquisitions going forward. So we're pretty confident that, you know, things are just still pretty good and pretty strong for us. As we have said in the past as well, that we don't rush into acquiring businesses because, you know, those four measures that I mentioned, it's not that, you know, everyone that you look at will have those four aspects in alignment to our expectations. But we will continue quite actively looking and working the pipeline that we already have built.
Okay. Thanks a lot for that, Aaron. That's all my questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a reminder, if you would like to queue for a question, you may do so by pressing star 1 on your telephone. And we take our next question from Chris Savage with Bell Potter.
Hi, thank you. First question, back on the acquisitions. You said EPS accretive in FY16. Is that after amortization or before? I just asked because a couple of weeks ago on the call, in relation to the acquisitions, you said it was before amortization.
Yep. Morning, Chris. Richard here. Good clarifying question. When we say EPS accretive for FY16, it will be before amortization. Obviously, the deal itself has not concluded, and we still need to go through the allocation of the purchase price, but the way we talk about it, going back to this, is that, you know, we are doing these to become number one, and the constraints of being accretive, we want to meet that as well. So to answer your question, it is EPS accretive before amortization.
Any idea yet what the amortization is going to be?
Not at this stage, Chris.
Okay. You said on that slide 19, combined group revenue for Altium, Octopart and Siva last 12 months is $84 million. So I'm guessing the combined revenue of Octopart and Siva is about $4
million? That's a good guess.
Fine. And when would you expect or hope to have Octopart completed?
Chris, it's on track to close towards the end of this month, if not early in September, but we'll certainly keep you posted.
Thanks. And last question on that tasking contract. I'm guessing around this is the one you were talking about on the Q4 call. Can you tell us over how many years that is?
That's over 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Great. And any more like that in the pipeline, or that's a bit of a one-off?
There are some more, but as to exactly when they materialize, it's hard to tell. But, you know, we've got a pipeline that is building. Admittedly, that's a big fish that we caught. If we get another one like this, we'll be very, very happy. Yeah.
And was that displacing a competitor, or this was a new license for them?
This is really a big transaction for us with respect to our tasking business. This is something that we'll be speaking about, and it's in automotive. The tasking business has been under, you know, our close, focus, and we've been bringing it back up. And this deal is really a big confidence booster for us in that business. It's all around automotive. And we can't really talk about details because we don't have clearance to discuss the details yet. But yes, it's a very good transaction for us. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. We take our next question from Rahul Ahmed with CCZ Equities.
Hi guys, it's actually Raju Ahmed. Look, well done on your result. Three questions. The first two is probably more macro driven. Look, I mean, when I look at the EDA sector, the electronic design automation sector, I mean, it's a fairly cyclical sector when you look at it over the longer term. Aram, from your experience, are you able to just discuss where that cycle is now. Are we midway through? Are we at the bottom? Are we at the top? Any thoughts there?
Hi, Raju. Yes, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I guess, you know, you could be thinking cyclical, but then there is more to technology sector than a, you know, kind of consistent cyclical. I mean, I would not say there isn't a cycle in this, but it's superimposed with a whole lot of things. There are mega trends, macro trends are happening. The most obvious one of which is Internet of Things and proliferation of electronics into pretty much everything that we see around us. That is the driver of growth for our business. If you look at Altium's last 5 years performance and you compare it to its previous years, you can see that definitely there isn't a cyclical pattern that you pick as saying, oh, well, Altium every 6 years, 7 years goes through this cycle. This is different to anything else we've seen in the past. You know, things are changing around us in a way that it reminds me of the way that the web was in the 90s. Basically, it's a computerization of everything, and everything that gets computerized got electronics in it, and everything that got electronics in it got printed circuit board in it. Now, when you say EDA, that's really an old term. Things have changed so much. I know that, you know, there are a couple of people still, you know, reporting on this. The last one was Gary Smith, and he was a gentleman who actually put quite a lot of effort into this. But he died just a few weeks ago, and that whole notion of EDA, as it was reported by him, it really belongs to the 90s and maybe 2000s. Things have changed dramatically, and we just see it in our numbers.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. Now, moving into the next question then, I suppose it's just an add-on from the first question is, when you think about acquisitions, and I know things have changed in terms of the different components to a cycle. When we look back over the last 10, 15 years, your sector, particularly the PCB, I mean, in your, I think going back two years ago, some of your slides showed the huge volume of acquisitions, not just in Altium, but your competitors as well. What is the level of acquisitive activity in the industry right now? Is there a lot of acquisitions happening, or is that something that's sort of that's taken a step down or step up?
I think, you know, I would say that companies like Mentor, Cadence, Synopsys, and PTC, that so they're mostly acquiring companies as a way of growing. They, you know, obviously put efforts into development, but acquisition is a fundamental part of their growth strategy. So at that level, nothing's changed. There are a lot of companies like Octopart is not a traditional EDA company, but yet it's completely, it's a search company, it's a web related company, but is a specialized search. It's about electronic cards. These kind of acquisitions, there are not that many out there that have these two sides to them, and we're very pleased to have secured this company. It's exciting, it's young, it's New York based. These kind of things are not very common. Big guys acquire companies that are kind of, you know, Settled, and that's how they just, it's kind of consolidation essentially of operations and costs and revenue.
Sure.
And that's EDA has been in the past. Yeah, that's why we think that it needs a new leader now.
Sure, no, understood. So if I think about the top, I suppose, four or five players, including Altium in there, Cadence, Mentor Graphics, I think Zukin in there, would it be fair to say that the sorts of acquisitions you're targeting is quite distinct from your competitors? So if you said Mentor and Cadence are basically going to acquire for growth, yes, Altium's doing the same thing, but it sounds like Altium's more bolt-on to then generate organic growth, whereas your competitors are really just, what you're saying is growth for growth's sake.
Yeah, the main reason for it, Roger, is because they've got a very small number of accounts that they draw their revenue from. So they're really far away from the long tail and even mainstream, I'd say. So a lot of technologies, they've got to say, how can I make money out of this technology, selling to these 40 accounts or 30 accounts? And essentially, they lock into that mindset. So they essentially look at the company, see what they're already buying, one of their customers. They go and buy the company that their customer is buying the products from. And that's basically just the only thing they can do. They don't have access to mainstream or the lower end of the market. That's why we have been talking the last 3 years that Altium will not extend its reach to the upper end, forgetting about the lower end. This is mainstream and lower end is absolutely critical in determining the next leader in our industry. And as such, the range of acquisitions or targets for acquisition is much wider for Altium than it probably be for Mentor or Cadence and so on.
Okay. And the last question, more a checkpoint question, if I may. Look, 2 years ago when we spoke about this, you talked about the different pricing levels. So lower, mainstream, upper, and I think from memory you said at the upper echelon pricing can be 5-6 times what is in the mainstream. Given the rollout,
true.
What's that?
Sorry, 5-6 times the mainstream. That's not true. $5,000 or $6,000 per annum. But keep going. Sorry to interrupt you, Roger.
No, that's okay. So what I'm getting at, so anyway, my understanding was you'll see a higher pricing, a significantly higher pricing as you actually go up the ladder. Now, the question is, with the rollout of your new products, what sort of pricing outcomes are you actually seeing right now? Is it a significant stretch from your products from this time last year, or it's not? It's better or is it worse than what you hoped for? Can you just give us a sense?
Yeah. But Roger, the first thing is that Altium, it's in our DNA that we're mainstream. Our pricing would never go up in the way that the pricing from companies like Mentor and Cadence are. Their pricing is the old world pricing. Our pricing would be completely different to that. So when we discussed about our X2, the higher-end product. We mentioned $5,000 or $6,000 is what we're thinking per annum. That's the price that we have in mind, and that's significantly less than the price bracket that the higher-end product's positioning. You know, the number of projects that are now out there around electronics, it's just order of magnitude greater than they were before. It's true that not all of them currently are paying for their CAD tools, but these companies, like these hardware startups, they're just mushrooming and they're entering the commercial world, and they're the future customers, they're the future people, and they've got a very different mindset. Our pricing, our culture, our attitude is focused on them, and that bubbles up into the higher end because, you know, companies like Google acquire these startups. Google is not going to be like, you know, Raytheon and Intel. It's going to be having a lot of these startups with the mindsets of these new guys. So the whole culture and pricing is to be in accordance to this new age than the old world. And our pricing, the work that we've done last couple of years to have multi-product with positioning, you know, with Circuit Studio, PCB Works, Altium Designer, X2, we're very pleased with the way that it's working out.
Okay. All right, that's very helpful, Aram and Richard, and thanks very much for your time.
No worries.
Thank you. We take our next question from Andrew Tan with Bell Potter.
Good morning. So I just want to confirm the $100 million revenue aspiration. I think you mentioned that was just purely organic growth. Is that the case?
Yeah.
Okay, and I guess what's exciting about that is that, you know, if you're able to maintain your cost base, you get quite good operating leverage. So where you're at with the fixed cost base. Like, has it plateaued out as yet, or will there still be investment in your infrastructure going forward?
Andrew, it's a fine balance for us because, you know, growth has to be maintained beyond 2017, you know,
yep.
2020, and that's really important for us. So we've got to invest in the business, but also expanding margin is very important to us. Now, if we put too much focus on growth and try to force it, then it will impact our expanding margin. And if we put too much focus on expanding margin, like, you know, for 2017, we can go super aggressive by tightly controlling costs, but it will affect 2018 and 2020. That balance is really important for us, but we will always have this thing that our revenue will grow faster than our costs. So if it's low growth, low double digit, then our costs will be a single digit in terms of its growth. But that balance is a very critical balance and is at the heart of our financial performance. Is our secret sauce revolves around that.
Okay, so when you talk about single-digit cost growth, are you talking about mid-single-digit or high-single-digit?
Richard.
Hi, Andrew. To go back on the first one, I think we should caution you to not think about that. We just build an infrastructure and then we set and forget. It's, you know, with the evolution of this industry and how we've come up with multiple products, we do need to invest, as Aram mentioned. The key is making sure that revenue growth exceeds expense growth. Now, when you talk about single digit, we are at risk, again, of locking ourselves into something that may hamper our future growth. So the way we should think about it is, say, for example, we achieved revenue growth of 20% and expense 15%. That still achieves our expanding margin, which is
higher
than expenses.
So it's better to look at a net increment in terms of margin growth.
Having said that, you know, we also believe that if we keep this this discipline of what I use in cricket analogy, line and length, then the wicket will come, and if the wicket comes, that will manifest itself in much greater revenue growth, and our costs wouldn't grow proportionately. So if the wicket comes our way, then you'll see a big jump in our margin, and that's what our longer-term value proposition is about. But year after year is over after over is line and length.
Yep, okay. And I noticed in the revenue or sales breakdown, you split out vault time-based licences. Is that the first time you've, I guess, recognised sales in that space, or is that just splitting it out from, I guess a path category?
So, Andrew, you know, this is connected with our data design management, and it all encompasses with the acquisitions that Aram talked about with Cedar and Octopart. Now, I think the reason why I put it out there was, this was an indication that there is market movement, there is market attraction and adoption to this. And it's something for us to monitor going forward.
Okay, no worries. All right. So the prior year there wasn't 700 grand. It was immaterial, effectively.
Well, the other facet of this particular line is that these are time-based licenses. So, you know, these are things that could potentially grow into another stream of recurring revenue, which is very exciting for us.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you. We take our next question from Greg Taylor with Blue Ocean Equities.
Good morning, and I do apologise ahead of time if these topics have already been covered. I was a little bit late onto the call this morning, so please do pull me up if you've covered this in detail previously. But two questions for me, if I may. Firstly, just to expand a little bit more on the cost discussion that we were having earlier, I guess from my end, I hear a lot of chatter about the range of expectations for cost growth in the near term is anywhere from 5% to 13% to 15%, and it seems to cause a lot of uncertainty in the market. I appreciate everything you mentioned with respect to the cost base as a derivative of the revenue line and everything else, but I guess you've given the aspirational target of 100 million revenue in FY17, which, you know, we all can work out that sort of 12-13% annual revenue growth. Under that scenario, and without any other new initiatives taken on, can you give us a little bit of a tighter guidance on that cost line? Because again, it gets quite tiring speaking to various people in the market that trying to convince me that it's 15% and 5%, and I think history tells us it's never been over 10%, but the market seems to be expecting that's what it's going to be for the next 2 years, which surprises me.
And Greg, this is a good question, and I can tell you that under the scenario that you mentioned, it will be definitely below 10%.
Okay. All right. Look, I appreciate that. Secondly, just to better understand the currency exposure of the Altium business, again, probably a primary source of surprise or volatility in perception towards the stocks being how currency's impacted both the cost and revenue line. Is there any further sort of data points or you can point us towards that will help the market better understand how the company is likely to be impacted by various currency scenarios going forward? So I guess we're not after a currency outlook for you, but we're just after a better understanding of what the currency net currency exposures are in the business.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Greg. Now, at the beginning of this call, Ram mentioned a little bit about the constant currency where, you know, had we looked at Europe principally where most of the impact occurred, sales would have been $5 million difference and revenue would have been $4 million difference. So a lot of it happens there. But obviously we do have costs in euros as well. So the way we look at it is that we have a cost of 40% for every euro.
So that's a European denominated cost for every euro revenue? Is that how that should be interpreted?
Absolutely correct, Greg.
Okay. And from your Australian dollar cost base, what portion of the cost base is Australian dollars?
It's quite small. You know, when we look at our Asia Pacific, which is generally run out of Australia, it is a small but efficient team. We have shared services also represented by finance and some corporate folks. So it's quite small. The only thing that we have that maybe is a bit of a wart on us is the onerous lease, but we hopefully will be addressing that fairly soon. But overall, it is quite small.
Just to clarify, that onerous lease is in the Australian region or in an AUD currency, is that correct?
That's correct. It is in Sydney and it's in AUD.
Okay. All right. And again, I saw there was reference in the investor presentation about a 30% plus EBITDA margin. Did I miss anything more prescriptive on that beyond where you believe margins can get to over time in this business through that line and length strategy you articulated?
Greg, you know, 30 is, there's nothing significant in itself and by itself. Expanding margin is the main thing, but once we get past 30, we've got to maintain that line and length, and that means each and every year we've got to deliver expanding margin. I believe that whenever we take a wicket, we get a big chunk, and if we continue bowling line and length, there isn't really a limit to how far it can go, but that means that we've got to win the test match and become number one in PCB. So once the wicket falls, then our cost is not going to also jump, and that's when the payoff happens. So, yeah, it can go up past 30.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Congratulations on a solid result.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. And as we have no further questions at this time, I would like to turn the call back over to Kim Vasharati for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Leanne. I will just hand over to Aram, who has some concluding remarks that he would like to make before we wrap up this call.
Again, I would like to share my thoughts that I believe that Altium is well on track to achieving its revenue target of $100 million by fiscal 2017. As I stated earlier on this call, having achieved an EBIT margin of 27%, it is likely that we may be able to enter the 30s for EBIT margin in fiscal 2016, earlier than I anticipated. Altium's management is firmly committed to growing its revenue and further expand its margin. This commitment has been our strong signature over the past few years and will remain a key part of Altium's DNA. Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.